Sister Rayetta, Sister Anita, and Sister Jewel. Am I correct in that? Okay. Did anyone have a preference as to who speaks first? No? Okay. Are you ready? Okay, well, Sister, we're going to start with Sister Rayetta.
Everyone, I have to tell you that this came as a surprise to me. I wasn't here last week because I had to get Renee, and so it took me a moment to adjust to speaking to you tonight because I realized that when you talk about surrendering to God, there's an honesty that you have to put out there. And for most of you who know me, I'm not a very open person. You ask me a question, I'll answer it. But for the most part, I don't talk about myself. I don't volunteer any personal information or business. And you know, if you share with me, it's like the clam is shut. So this took a little soul searching for me. So the first thing that came to me when it said the joy of surrendering, it wasn't joy. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't joy. You have to understand my background. I was raised by a single mom, and she taught us to stand up for ourselves, to take care of yourself, your family, and your home. So when I came across that point in my life where I had to surrender to God, it was very uncomfortable for me. And I'm going to share some things with you. My reference scripture comes from 1 Peter 5 and 7. It says, cast all your cares, worries, concerns, doubts upon God, for he cares for you. I had to come to an understanding that if I shared myself with God, it wasn't going to be thrown in my face. It wasn't going to be shared with anyone else. I had to, you know, just talking with you now, I had to, you know, shake it off a little bit because it was uncomfortable for me. But let me share with you some of the things that I had to share with God, or shall we say, surrender to God. I was told at the age of 23 that I would not have any children. I lost a child. And 6 months later, my ex-husband left. I went through congestive heart failure. I was constantly hospitalized for asthma. I would spend most of the summer, I would say, in the hospital because of asthma. The drugs and things that they gave me, I had horrible side effects to the point where my face and my body was deformed. My eyes used to bulge to the point where I had to wear glasses that sat out on my nose because my eyes would bulge so far forward. My mother suffered from cancer. She was diagnosed stage 4. My mother lived for 16 years with her cancer. I was her main caregiver. Cancer treatment. We used to call us the traveling sisters because we went everywhere. But I would sit with her as she was receiving intravenous cancer treatment. I watched her hair fall out. I watched her lose 60 pounds. But the amazing thing was my mother's spirit never changed. I would say for the first 14 years, most people never knew my mother even suffered from cancer, but I did. My mother passed away. Oh, God, my brother and my sister went through all kinds of changes. I had to leave my church, my old church, because of the things that was said about me and done to me. I had to find a new church. Understanding my gifts, the gifts that God blessed me with, that in itself is a chapter. I'm not even going to go there. But then I came to a point where something changed in me. I started believing in God's authority. It was a new thought, that God just isn't somebody who we pray to, but God has authority. He has power. He has a place in our lives. He has rules and he has requirements. And once I started to understand those things, I started believing in his authority over my life. The next step for me was believing in his word. I started reading his word more. He started revealing things to me through his word. One of the changing points for me was, I didn't mention that when I came to visit Taylor Tabernacle, I was actually going through foreclosure on my home. The sheriff had knocked on my door. And I opened the door and said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Wait a minute, you still in here?" I'm like, "Well, where am I going to go?" God said, "Be still and know that he is God." So that's what I told the sheriff. And he looked at me like I had lost my mind. He was like, "I don't see any boxes." Why would you see a box? God said, "Be still." And you need a glass of water. It's kind of warm outside. Can I get you a can of soda, fruit juice or something? And he says, "Well, I only came here to give you these papers to tell you that you need to be out in 30 days. I was like, "Okay, thank you. You have a good day." 30 days later, I was still in my home. 30 days after that, I was still in my home. 7 years after that, I am still in my home. Believing in God's promises. And then it came to the biggie, realizing that I can do nothing in my own strength. That one was okay. I am done. There is nothing else I can do. There has to be a God at this point. There has to be a God at this point in my life. There is no other way for me to describe it. The things that I have been through, lived through, seen, and even the things that he has allowed me to do. And I realized it all came when I said, you know what, Lord, you need to take this wheel, because I done crashed up a couple of cars. I've dinged up some things, and some of them had to just be totaled completely. So if you handling this, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Cast all your cares. And the joy comes when you got to do that look over the shoulder and say, oh, my God, look what God has brought me through. I have a 19-year-old daughter that wasn't even supposed to be here. My mom is gone, and I got to share a long time with her after the bad news came. Helena will tell you, I spent so many times in the hospital, so when they was taking me, I would just bring my oil. And it wasn't to anoint my head. Walking up and down with the oxygen mask on my face, me and the University of Pennsylvania, I can't tell you how many people I prayed with. How many people I said, you know what, let me just peek in here. How you doing? How you doing? And then it became a point where I realized it was never about me. When you surrender to God, you realize it is never about you. It is all about God. I mean, everything becomes about God. I'll share with you last week, reason why I wasn't here. I mean, when I tell you I have been under attack, that just doesn't even cut it. I mean, Monday, 5:15 in the morning, I was driving to work. A tractor trailer decided to pull out and make a wide turn around the corner and blocked up both lanes as I was coming through. I gunned it just as he was turning and made it through. One block later, my car died. My car died. Now I'm just, what in the world was he? Oh, Lord. I coasted into a parking spot, left on the corner that I was turning. There's never a parking spot on that corner. I went, well, baby, I thank you for getting me through that. Let me grab my purse. Ooh, do I have a hat back here? I always keep my bus pass on me. Grab my lunch bag. I was 5 minutes late to work. My boss said, what are you doing here? Well, Lord made way. I got to work. I had my car towed. I had just renewed my AAA membership. When I say just, we're talking less than 48 hours. Guy towed it, didn't cost me a cent. Called my cousin. Up, sound like you need a battery and an alternator. Got the battery, bought the alternator. He put it in my car for $60. That's my joy. That's my joy. When I don't sweat the small stuff, when I say, Lord, I thank you because it could have been. That's my joy. Sometimes it doesn't present itself in the situation. I'm going to be honest with you because my sister was fuming. My daughter was coming in. I didn't have a car for that. I saw your text 3 days after the fact. Was like, okay, now how am I going to do this? Renee's coming in. I have no car. We're on SEPTA. Lord, please don't let it be my night to speak. Helena said, I'll tell her. And I'm here tonight. God is good. God is so good. Even when I hurt, even when I'm sad, even when people hurt me, things don't work out the way I expect. Matriarch said something to me that changed my life. She said to me, now, like I said, I don't talk about myself. She pulled me aside one Sunday. She said, if you do not get up and start praying for these people, you will never be healed. And I sat there looking at her like, what you talking about? She said, I know who you are. I know who you are. She said, why do you think you were brought here? She said, nobody is recognized in their own home. She said, Jesus wasn't recognized for who he was in his own home. She said, but you're here now. She said, and people need you. People need you praying for them. She said, I know who you are. I know who you are. And she said, you will only be healed when you start praying for everybody else. Surrender. Rev just told you, when you surrender, that lines you up to receive something from God. So when I started standing and praying for people, you didn't reject me. You didn't hurt my feelings. You didn't tell me to go sit down. Those are the things I heard before. You didn't tell me that, who are you to think that God can use you to bless me? Heard that before. Same person who said those words, God sent me to pray for them, and they were having a major stroke. Major stroke. And they didn't even know it. And he said, go. Surrender causes obedience. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice? Boy, that's a real thing. But it all begins with recognizing the fact you can't do nothing. We are here at God's mercy. At God's mercy. So open yourselves up and allow him to use you in the capacity that he ordained you to be here for. Believe me when I tell you, your life will be a whole lot easier. Less frustration, less anger. The joy comes. The joy comes. The joy comes. For no other reason than knowing that God cares for you. When no one else does. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Please excuse me not being here when we first started. Sister Kim and I are working on something upstairs. So I keep hearing, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. It's just ringing down in my soul. I get joy when I think about what he has done for me. Ah, God is so good. Thank you for that beautiful testimony, Sister Rayetta. And she was worried. She thought she was last week, and I had told her that it was she was on a schedule for this week. So it all worked out. It was all in his plan. It was all in his plan. So at this time, we're going to have Sister Mary come up. And Sister Mary? Sister Mary. God bless. And after Sister Mary gives her testimony, Sister Jewel is going to bless us with joy in a struggle. I'm sorry. That was for something else.
You good? Yep. Okay. I was supposed to speak last Friday on what it means to surrender. To me, what it means to surrender is going to the altar, laying it all out for God, emptying your heart out, then getting up, standing on your face, walking away, knowing that he's going to take care of it. My testimony tonight is going to be about my son and his drug problem. My son was sick one Saturday. And I took him to the doctor. From the doctors came to me and said, you have to take him to the hospital. I want to make sure he's done. I took him to the hospital. The technician came out and he said to me, I don't understand, something's wrong. He said, the doctor sent a script over for me to take x-rays of his kidneys. He said, and I don't see him on x-ray at all. He said, so we're going to have to keep him, run some tests, find out what's going on. That night, they told us we're going to have to rush him to Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital because they're more capable of handling his situation. So when we get to the hospital, they take him in. My husband, Ronnie, had called his mother, the matriarch, and Elder Taylor. While we were at the hospital, they had went to my house, and they was in his room praying. When we got to the hospital, the doctors examined him. They took him upstairs. The boy came back. They told us, he said, your son has complete kidney failure. He was only 16 years old. So he said he'll probably be going dialysis. We're going to take him up. We're going to have to do the operation. He said, we're going to train him how to cleanse himself. They put a catheter in his stomach. We'll train him how to do that so he can go to school in the morning. When he comes back home, he'll have to flush himself again. So meanwhile, they came back and they said, we don't understand why he's not in a coma. They said he's alert. They were talking to him. He was answering all the questions. And they kept saying, they kept looking at him and said, this kid should be in a coma. They said his kidneys were very small and that he definitely had to go on dialysis. So we went through all of that. He was sent home. He had the catheter in his stomach. 2 weeks later, I'll never forget, it was Holy Week. That Saturday morning, I got in from work, and he was running a high fever. I called a doctor, and they said, bring him back in. I took him back in, and he said, something's going wrong. We don't know what it is. We have to keep him. That Sunday morning, which was Easter Sunday morning, they called us and they said, we're going to have to take him back up for surgery. We went back to the hospital. When they came back down with him, he said, we don't understand this. His kidneys is working. They're small, but they're working like one. So they said, but they said, I'm going to tell you, he has to go on a soft-free diet. He said, and he'll probably never have children. Okay, so we go home, we accept all of this, we're dealing, we're coping. He managed, right, we went, after the catheter was removed, this boy went back to school, graduated from high school with his class, went in the Army, got married, and had his son. Most of you know Trey, had a son that they said he would never have. Now, he was blessed with a healing, and I could not understand why he was on drugs, why he turned to drugs. My daughter-in-law would call us. She said, I think he's on drugs. He would constantly call us. He need money for this, money for that. She would call, he's lying. So it was just a battle going back and forth all the time with him. They ended up separating. He came home. Well, that's when all hell broke loose. In my household, it was constant arguing, back and forth, the lies, him needing money for this, money for that, just all the time kept the house upset. To the point where one day I woke up, I said, this is it. I cannot handle this anymore. Went to God. I said, you gave him to me. Now I'm giving him back. I cannot handle this anymore. I want peace in my home, and I don't know how to deal with it. So I emptied my heart out. I got up, and I felt a peace come over me. And I said, I think I can deal with this now. In and out. Whenever they call me, he called me. Well, I'm locked up. Okay. He'd come by the house. It was such a, when he would knock on the door, it was like tension all the time. And we would go into a combat back and forth, back and forth. I was always arguing with him all the time. Then Ronnie and I was always at each other because of the way I was handling him, whatever. But once I had gave him back to God, he'd come by the house, my whole attitude changed. It is what it is. He is still here. I don't know how. Dipping and dabbing, as the kids say. But I deal with it differently. When he comes to the house, I have peace. There's no more arguing, no more combativeness with him. It's just, it is what he is. And he told me one day, well, I done been to every rehab center, but one thing he knows God healed him, and he'll tell you that. God healed my body, and if I want to get off drugs, I know what I need to do. So I said, that's it. God got it. He's still here. We don't know why he's still here. Ronnie always say, I guess God got something planned for him. He's still here. So that's the way we deal with it. But I have peace in my heart because I know God's got it. Good or bad, he's handling it. I'm out of it. I just moved out the way, and that's the way I deal with it. So those of you who know the words of prayer, please pray for me and my son. Thank you.
Sister Jewel.
Hello. Let me see, where do I start with this? When Sister Lillian texted me, I didn't see it late till a couple of days later. And she was like, oh, I scared you? I'm like, what are you talking about? She was like, text. So I scrolled back up and was like, oh, I didn't even see that. But okay. I don't even know where to start. I mean, God has put me in situations where I have no choice but to surrender. And in that surrendering, it increased my faith. And in increasing my faith, it caused me to be at a place now where I'm listening to what he has to say instead of, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. Now I'm at that place where I listen. And in listening, if you listen to God and move when he say move, all the blessings will just, I mean, the past 2 weeks, I can't even explain. My mom can tell you, man, y'all just don't know. But I remember a particular situation I was going through. In 2004, July 3rd, I bought a house. I had been working for Children's Hospital for about 2 years. Me and the manager wasn't getting along for whatever reason. January 2005, I got fired from Children's Hospital. And with all that, you know, I was praying, God, I would really love to go back to college, but I really don't want to take out any more loans. Be careful what y'all pray for. Because I said, God, I still say God set me up. From January to August, I had no job. And everything I applied for, I was either overqualified or underqualified. And I couldn't understand it because I had been in the medical field since I had graduated from high school. And I'm like, well, God, I know how to do this. But it was like everything I applied for, God was shutting it down. And I got frustrated. And I said, you know what? I had more money and less problems when I was in the world. And I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I called one of my girlfriends and was like, listen, I'm going out. Let's go out. She took me to some bar of Germantown. I was in that bar probably about 8 minutes. I was like, time to go. Everybody in the bar had a demonic face on it. And I was like, oh, no, got to get out of here. She was like, we just got here. Now we got to go. She was like, you call me? Uh-huh, yeah, got to go. Let's go. That was a Friday night. One of my dearest friends that I've been known since I was 16, he, like, went to church, but not, like, church. And we had been through a lot. His family had been through a lot from the time I met him up until then, even now. And he said to me, you know, won't you do what you know how to do? I said, yeah, that ain't my life no more. We ain't doing that. He was like, I ain't talking about that. I said, for those of y'all that don't know, I kind of dipped and dabbed on the other side of the tracks. But he said, you always praying for my family. Won't you pray? And, you know church and you know God, but at times, and I can't speak for nobody else, it's like, you know, no, I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear none of that. Because at that point in my life, like I said, I had just bought a house that I had less than 6 months. I had no job. I worked at Children's. They had denied me for my unemployment. So I had to appeal that, and months went by. Couldn't pay my mortgage, couldn't pay bills. I literally had nothing. So I said, yeah, no, I ain't doing it. But then I got to the point where I felt like I couldn't breathe my own breath anymore. Like everything was coming at me, and I just didn't know how to deal. So I got a white sheet. Told my brother, I'm going in my room. Don't bother me. Khalil was, I think, at his father's house. He was somewhere. He wasn't home. I laid on the floor, and I had the TV on, but I had the volume down low. And I said, all right, God, I'm just going to talk to you. But I don't know if you ever got into a place where you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders and you can't pray, so you're just crying. And that's where I was. I laid on that floor and I just cried. And from crying, I went from crying to praying. And the gifts that God placed in me, God had really just started dealing with me with them, so I really wasn't sure too much with them either. But I went from crying to praying, and that was a Friday night. And like I said, I had the volume down on the TV, but for some reason, I heard T.D. Jakes say, now that you have gotten as low as you can go, why not pray? You already hit rock bottom. Now, how I heard that, I don't know, because the volume was down, but that's what I heard. So from Friday night to Sunday, I took like 4 bottles of water in my room. I didn't eat. I didn't do anything. I shut my door, and I was just on the floor, me and God. I had to go to court that Monday for my unemployment, and I was sitting on the train, and this song, You're Blessed in the City, Blessed in the Field, but the part that said, late in the midnight hour, God is going to turn around, that set in my spirit the entire 20 minutes I was on the L. I got to court, and it was just me, the mediator, whoever she was, and a representative from Children's. And she said, are you a lawyer? And he said, no. She said, well, you can't open her file because you're not a lawyer. So she said, in her file, does it say anything about her having FMLA? And he said, yes. At that time, Khalil had, like, asthma and allergies extremely bad. I was in and out of Children's Hospital with him. So he said, yes. And she said, okay, I don't want to hear nothing else. That Tuesday, I had jury duty. And I was working for a temp agency when I was with Children. So the young lady, I think her name was Trisha, was trying to get me. But, of course, I was in court. And at that time, they used to take your phones. So she was calling my mom because my mom was like my second emergency number. When I got out of court, I called my mom was like, some lady named Trisha's trying to contact you. I said, okay. So I called her. And she said, listen, I got a job for you if you're interested. I can't tell you who it is. I can just tell you where to go. It's only for about 3 months if you're interested. Sure, because at that time I had nothing. That Tuesday, she gave me the address, went there, just happened to be GYN with Drexel University. I went there, met everybody, you know, they had to train me with what they were doing. I've always been in the medical field, but I never worked in a doctor's office, so I didn't have that experience at all. Mind you, I did say I prayed to God about I wanted to go to college without paying. Okay. So that Tuesday I started working with them. That Thursday, I had 7 checks in the mail from unemployment. I was like, okay, wait a minute. 7. By that Saturday, I had 4 more. I said, okay, God, all right, you know, okay. I did say I did not have any income for 6 months. I did not get a shut-off notice until the week I got those checks. Who in the world does PICO not bother for 6 whole months? Yes. I didn't get a shut-off notice for anything for the entire 6 months. I was like, okay, Jesus. But when I got to Drexel, it was only supposed to be for 3 months. And I started working August. November, my director came to me and she said, you know, at that time, everybody that worked in that office was from a temp agency. She said, you know, something about you, can't place my finger on it, but there's just something about you. She said, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to open the position and if you want it, you can become permanent. Sure. Went to orientation, they started telling us all the benefits or whatever. So she was saying how we could go to college or whatever. And I said, oh, okay, so do we have to, like, pay and y'all reimburse. She said, no, honey, you can start classes tomorrow for free. You're covered 100%. Have your child can go for free. I said God set me up because I only took like 6 classes. But 14 years later, my son is in Drexel for free. Can I tell y'all, I thank God all the time because every 3 months, when I see that bill come in and say tuition is $18,000 and your balance is zero, I ain't complaining. Thank you, Jesus. So for me, it was that moment of surrendering to God because I realized, like you said, I can't do this, and I knew I couldn't. Everything I tried to do, every job I applied for, I was getting turned down. Like, everything was just going wrong. And even now, when I was here, I mean, y'all know I was at that altar like clockwork up here because I was going through so much. Like you, I had foreclosure, lost my home. God got jokes on that. Moved from my house that I lost to 2 more houses. And when did I buy that house? When did I bought the house? October. Applied for a house. Got my credit somewhat cleaned up. Took from August till October for me to clean my house, clean my credit up, and close on the house. Can I say I did not have 1 dime when I bought my house? Not 1 dime. They called me and was like, oh, wait a minute. First of all, we went to go look at this house. The house we looked at looked exactly like the house I had lost. And it had a smell in it like the house I had lost. I was like, wait a minute. Nobody smelled the smell but me. I'm like, this smells familiar. The house is made exactly like the one I lost. It's a block down from the one I lost. It's a little bigger, and everything that I wanted to do in the one I lost, put a bathroom in the basement, add a few things, is in this particular house, except God gave me the big yard that I wanted. I said, God, you got jokes. How you going to give me back what I lost and add something to it? But I was thanking God. When it came time for me to go to settlement, I was starting to get worried because nobody was saying, like, what I had to pay, and I knew I ain't had no money. So when we got to the table, they said, oh, a new program came out a week before time for you to go to closing. So they paid. It kept showing that I had, like, a $30,000 credit, and I had to go to, like, this credit counseling. So she was like, oh, you putting $30,000 in? No, I don't have that kind of money. She said, well, you got a credit. Okay. When it came time to go to closing, come to find out this new program paid everything, my closing costs, my everything, and I walked away from the table having to pay nothing. And I was like, God, oh, my God, like, you're so, like, awesome. Like, just surrendering to God. And like I said, now I'm at the point where I'm listening. Because everything he's been telling me to do now is like, if I was trying to do something on my own will, it wouldn't work. And then out of nowhere, God would say, all right, go call now. I want you to call now. And then I drop everything to go call. And what I had been trying to do that wasn't working when I was trying to do it on my own, God opened the doors and did it. And I'm like, okay. And last week, I questioned God with something. I was like, all right, God, I don't know about this. God was like, I need do it now. I was like, okay. I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to trust you. 2-3 days later, got an email, had a couple of thousands in my bank account. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Don't thank you. Got the job with Drexel, like I told y'all. I had no experience working in doctor's office. 4 years ago, they promoted me to supervisor. Monday, I have an interview to be an office manager making $25,000 more than what I'm making now. And my manager, we both started at the same time. She started as a medical assistant. I started as like a front desk receptionist. But now she's my manager. And she said, it's time for you to move forward. Like, you know how to manage your office because you did it before I came here. You need to get pushed out. And I was kind of nervous because, yes, I was doing it, but I always had somebody to go, you know, report to. And she was like, no, it's time. I was like, wait, I got to pray about this. And before I could, like, really go pray, she was like, oh, I already called them. I told them all about you. You know two or three of them. So, yeah, they be calling you soon. Like, didn't I say I was going to pray? She was like, yeah, all right, don't worry about that. Okay. So she went to the little meeting where they all were, and then like an hour later, that's when they called me and was like, oh, can you come on Monday, you know, March 11th, and meet everybody? And then they sent me an email, and supposed to be there for like 3 hours. So I said to my manager, I said, who do an interview for 3 hours? I said, we must be doing something wrong when we doing our interviews, or it'd be like a half an hour. So she said, don't worry about it. So yesterday they had a meeting, and she was like, oh, they are so excited about their candidates and this, that, and the other. I was like, oh, it's more people, you know, interviewing, you know. She was like, no, girl, just you. Like, they can't wait. And I told them that they got to at least leave me with you for like a week. I was like, I'll never leave you like that. So I'll give you like 2-3 weeks. But I say all that to say how God set me up, because when I was going through what I was going through 14 years ago, had somebody told me then that I would be standing where I am now, I would have never saw it. Even 4 years ago, when some of y'all knew I was going through what I was going through, had somebody told me, and y'all did tell me, that I would be where I am now, I couldn't see it then. All I saw was what I was going through at that moment. So, yes, I know what y'all were saying, but at that moment, I just couldn't see it. And not that I wasn't believing it, it's just that at that moment, all I could see was what I was going through. But there is such a joy when you really say, God, you got it all. I can't handle none of this anymore. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't even want to deal with it anymore. And when you finally just give up everything and surrender all to God, like everything, God will move in such a way that it amazes you. Because I know it amazed me, and it's still amazing me. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to continue to do in my life as long as I stay lined up with Him. And, you know, I tell my kids all the time, because when I get in little jams, you know, my son like, Mom, what are we going to do? Trust God like I've been doing. I don't know no other way. And some people get offensive when I say that, but I really don't know no other way but to trust God. I don't know nothing else. And I don't find that to be a bad thing. But surrendering to God has an overwhelming joy to it, if we can just look past the right now situation, which is the hard part. If we can look past the right now situation and look forward to where God is really taking us to, it has such a joy to it. Thank you.
Amen. How many of y'all are blessed? How many of y'all are blessed by these testimonies, these personal testimonies of what the Lord is just doing in people's lives? All He wants is for us to say yes to Him. That's it. He just wants us to surrender unto Him and to say yes. Yes, Lord, whatever it is, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust the plan that You have for my life. And I thank and I praise God for y'all just being so open and honest, sharing your hearts, your testimonies. You know, God is just so awesome. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen, what's going to be said on next Friday. It's just getting gooder and gooder every week. So if I could leave a word with you, and it's just trust God in the hard times. You know, if you can only see what is at store for you at the end, you just got to trust Him. No matter what it looks like, no matter how hard it may seem, no matter how bad the condition may be, He has never left you nor forsaken you. You know, and we just have to stand on his word. Lord, I can't do nothing. It's all you. I trust you. And if we can just trust him through the hardships, you know, through the good, through the bad, you know, it's always going to be something. We're going to have hardships. It's life. But God is just testing us to see, daughter, son, do you trust me? And once you put it all in his hands and put it at his feet, just sit back and relax in it. Because that's what he wants us to do, to rejoice in him. So I'm not going to hold you any further. Pastor, do you have anything you need to say? You good? All right. All minds are clear. Let's stand. You can dismiss.